CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Dun, 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 dun. Friday morning. But you like Fridays, huh? Who doesn't? Who does not like Fridays?
You do know that it's basically Monday, right?
Oh, come on, stop it. I hate it when you do this.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because whenever she can't enjoy
Monday than any other day.
She can't even enjoy Friday. She has to think about like the scorpion sting in the tail that is Monday that comes after a Friday.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, that's how some people live.
Why?
Ask her why. It's her, she can't help it. This is her brain.
No, that's how I used to think. I'm feeling very positive these days.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Well, that's fair.
Did I say these days or did I say today?
Okay, well done. Well done. Quentin says, Leanne, you're looking very pretty this morning. So there, that should feed into your happiness this morning too, Cass.
I know.
Although
Quentin's
been hitting on you for so many years now, it's kind of a bit sad, you know.
Oh, he has been?
No, I'm joking.
I wasn't counting.
Hey, did anybody watch the president last night and how he was telling us that we were naughty children in PE. PE, very bad. Shame.
I knew I knew what was coming, so I didn't watch, but I read the summary.
Oh, yeah?
And I was glad that it didn't affect us. I do feel for businesses in PE because, like, haven't they suffered enough?
But, well, I mean, if you're going to punish...
what needs to be done needs to be done.
If you're going to punish anybody, let it be PE. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't have a problem with that.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's almost as if, you know, this is almost some kind of divine intervention. Because if you're going to be cruel to any particular part of South Africa, then make it the Eastern Cape, you know? That's what I was praying last night.
No, Garrett.
Shame on you.
No, I don't really. I don't really feel that way. I have friends in PE, and they're all very.
I was on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Is that it?
No, I'm even hearing the.
That's your whole story. You were on the phone. Okay. Wow. Great story, Sia. Great.
Jeez. Yeah. You're really getting out of that depression nicely.
Yeah. Well done. Well done.
Phone call at a time.
I was on the phone. And it was. In that phone call where I was like, oh, wait, actually, the president's on. The president's saying something. So cut that call, and we both started watching. And my only takeaway is the president has a new speechwriter.
Do you think so?
That's it. Has a new speechwriter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yesterday's speech was more theatric than he usually is. And someone who's done, you know, like back in my heyday, I would go into all of these speech competitions and whatnot. It felt like someone actually wrote with annotations saying, pause, look into the camera,
well, you know, you
reflect. There was a point he said, like, do you want us to go back to the dark days of June? Do you remember? And I'm like, this is like an oral. I'm like,
You know what? Maybe you're on the money because, you know, his last spokesperson's the one who was involved in the PPE scandal. She and her husband had stolen money. Remember?
Who was it? Diko. Was it Kusela Diko?
Can't remember, but yeah. So he might have fired her or brought in someone else. Mm-hmm. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very. It's
that
possible.
Is my only takeaway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I was waiting for him to say something about New Year's Eve, and he didn't mention that.
Well, by the way, people of PE, your New Year's Eve ends at 10.
So yeah, it's fact.
You just be ready to get kiss everybody, 10 o'clock, wrap that shit up. You're off. After that, it's home, all right?
I guess it's house parties for all of us at this point.
Yeah. Lots of comments about Cyril. Someone said last night it was so funny. You know, the internet is so quick. I mean, there were memes immediately about, like, you know, all the kids pointing to PE and laughing, and PE's kid is like crying against the tree.
Oh, no.
And then there was one with Cyril. I didn't even notice this, but apparently they just dumped the sign language interpreter for this one. So someone said, oh, look, they've chowed all the money for the sign language interpreters.
Thinking about it, you see that.
Yeah, there wasn't a sign language interpreter. So someone better tell, you know, the blind or the deaf. Or who's it for, the deaf?
Gareth.
Yes. I don't have a lot of time for the deaf. No. We did something historic here with blind history. Blind history. because we actually did sign language podcasts. So they're videos where you could watch an episode of Blind History and you'll see the person doing the sign language interpretation. It's someone called Tummy.
Great.
But I don't really cater for the deaf because radio, you know, so I've never really been one to take that community's interests to heart. You know, call me horrible if you like, but that's the truth. Anyway, Bulelo is so embarrassed because, you know, he's half Xhosa, but he's identifying as Petty this morning because he says the Xhosas are letting us down again. So I don't know if it's
for
just
all
them.
Of 2 seconds, how do you think Nelson Mandela Bay became this hotspot? It's not as if it's a buzzing city where all you want to do is just go out and do things. I don't get it.
I think it might have been a collective thing where, you know, if everybody else is wearing their mask, then you'll wear it. If you go to a social function, and I mean, it happens to me. If I have a contractor arriving on my property or an estate agent, if they're not wearing their face mask, then I'll take mine off. And so you kind of do what everybody else is doing, and that's maybe what happened. There were too many people not sanitizing or keeping distance or not socializing.
I'll bet you all the people in PE are already making plans to be elsewhere for New Year. So just get ready, everybody. There's going to be an influx.
Oh, boy. They're coming to Joburg.
All the PE people. Sia Samkela says this on Twitter. Just look at this. This is hilarious. You know, it's Nelson Mandela Metro, right? So he says, imagine living in a metro named after a boxer who never won a single fight. That's Nelson Mandela. So they're going after everybody.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
It's pretty brutal.
You know what?
The people of PE.
I'm not going down this road. Yes, I'm getting. No, I'm not.
I know, it's shocking. Shocking. Anyway.
Yeah, that was the only. That is another thing I was just confused by. In terms of even numbers, I would think perhaps Joburg, Cape Town, and Durban would be pointed.
Let's be sensible, Leanne. You just said, no. You know, people taking their mask off or keeping the mask on. A mask is not going to stop a virus. It can slow a virus in a large population of people, but it cannot stop a virus. No one has ever said that a mask will stop a virus. And sometimes people get sick even if they follow all these Cyril Ramaphosa, you know. I mean, you get the flu sometimes, even if you haven't been around people who have the flu.
I don't know. I just go by the fact that I haven't even had as much of the sniffle. And I put it down to people washing their freaking hands and not spitting on me.
But you've also been a lot more isolated than most of us. I mean, you've stayed at home. You haven't really interacted with other people. So that's bound to keep you a little bit out of the... I've also heard of people who've had COVID and only got it now. So who knows? I mean, listen, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. That's the point. You can't stop a disease, and no government. When Cyril says we've done well to keep this thing at bay, how? We're just lucky. Mm-hmm. We haven't done anything. We didn't all take a jab of something or, you know, all stay exactly 6 foot apart. Bullshit. You either get it or you don't. Sorry.
Yeah. There's also, remember that, it slipped my mind.
Can you remember what you wanted to say?
I hate getting old.
Are you old?
What are the drugs that you take if you if you're HIV positive?
ARVs.
ARVs, thank you. Yeah, there's also remember that ARVs have something to do with not contracting COVID so easily. It's also why we're quite a tough little country. Why do you look confused here? Okay, so let me start from the very beginning. ARVs do help in some way that it's not proven, or maybe it is, help you from getting, protect you from getting COVID.
Okay. Well, I can't speak on other people's behalf, but I don't take ARVs, so, but I still don't, I didn't get COVID.
But so many people in South Africa do. I'm talking about just the general population and the numbers compared to the rest of the world.
No, our numbers aren't that great, actually. Remember, we were fifth in the world. Even the president said this at the beginning.
Now we're 14th.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not great. There are 140 countries. So if we're 14th, we're still not performing very well. Anyway, listen, I don't think politicians are the people to run to for an answer here. And it doesn't seem to me that this is something that is so terrible that we need to be shitting ourselves. We just don't. 99.something% survival rate? What are you kidding? Anyway,
I just had one in circles. I just had one quick prayer last night. I was talking to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I'm about to go home to see my family and to really rest after this year.
Mm.
Are you really going to give me COVID now? Like, you could have given it to me the whole freaking year where I was alone. I could have really self-isolated. Like, Jesus, come on, cut me some slack.
You know that.
That's all I asked for.
Yeah, that Jesus can be crafty sometimes. He's.
I know. Mm.
That's how it goes.
I was getting into a swimming pool. I was with family. And I'm one of those that go in slowly, little bit by little bit, like torture. And it was so cold at one point, I went, oh, God, please help me, please, God. And one family member went, I think that ship sailed, Leanne. It's like, he ain't going to listen to you.
Really, imagine how screwed up it will be to get COVID during this festive season.
The worst. And also because
yeah, imagine self-isolating. Oh,
during Christmas. Yonder says, morning team, CM makes a good point as to why suddenly PE has a spike. My call is that they're just only doing more tests, or at least they're reading it correctly now. I've actually had a bad fever for the past 3 days and only subsiding now. Not sure if it's the Roro. Melissa says, I'm a doctor in PE and people are doing the most. Had COVID as well. As an asthmatic, it was not fun.
Ooh, yeah, that's what worries me. I'm with you there.
Adrian says, funny how he gives us orders while everything his government has presided over is in ruins. We are the fools. Yeah. Annette says, sooner or later we will be exposed. Mask is pointless. Kotso says, he was not wearing a mask. Ugh, this mask thing is such a performance. It's all like, oh, quickly put on your mask. The people of the country are watching. It's silly. I was asked... the other day I had my mask down because I was walking around. I think it was in a shop, but it was a big shop. There was lots of space. I wasn't near any other people. And then someone said, please, can you put on your mask? Of course I did. But it's just so silly, the whole thing. Okay, let's move on. We talked about masks for, 7 months now? It's enough. I've had enough of this. Any plans? I'm going to be optimistic here. Any plans for the weekend? No.
Right, a rousing response.
Okay.
And you?
I'm trying.
No. I was just being
hopeful.
I was just being hopeful.
I'm trying not to complain because, well, I just don't like complaining. But my thigh and my... brain leg has flared up again.
Oh, old man.
So this time it's flared right up to my left buttock as well. Like in between answering emails yesterday, I was just rubbing myself down. Thinking, is this
What are you doing to get into the situation where your thigh is strained? See, I'm telling you, there's some freaky shit going on here. You're not being honest with us.
I will blame myself because earlier this week I thought, well, I hadn't been for a walk in a long time, thinking, oh, I think I'm fine now. Mm. So I think just going for the walk has made it a little worse. But, you know, this is what my life has come to, so that's what I'll be doing this weekend.
Mm. I'm just glad not to have any family members in hospital. My dad was discharged from hospital on Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
Because he had a heart attack a week and a half ago.
Jesus. I didn't know about that. That's horrible.
Yeah, he did.
Was it a big one or just
actually,
a...
Actually, while we were doing the show last week, what's today, Friday? Mm-hmm. Last week, Monday, the week before Monday.
I'm sorry.
7:30. No one told me because they knew that I was busy with you guys. And but, yeah, he had terrible chest pain.
Uh-huh.
And he actually told my mom's carer and said, geez, I've got really bad chest pain. And she went, mm-hmm, and just walked off because no one really listens to my dad. And he went and lay down a little bit. He was like, no, this is too much. This is just too much. And remember, he's very fit and a cyclist and all the rest. But it's genetic. Both his parents had either fatal or non-fatal heart attacks. But it's also a very difficult time to have a family member in hospital with COVID around.
No, it's...
They're literally only allowed one visitor per day for half an hour.
Yeah, you think you're going to have a bad Christmas with the people you don't want there. You don't want to be in hospital this Christmas, trust me. You don't want to be in hospital full stop for anything at this stage. Anyway, listen, there's lots of stuff we've got to talk about here. Apparently, Sia, you can tell us the whole story here. Remember the organization, Me Too organization, Time's Up? It was started in L.A. It was a bunch of people who said that Time's Up. There were these famous actresses who fronted it. And remember them? Yeah, and you don't remember them.
And there were all of these celebrity donors.
Yeah, that's right.
And people, I do remember.
People were giving them money and all the rest of it. Well, guess what? Turns out that the public documents have been released. All the fundraising that they did went to celebrity salaries as opposed to helping victims. Surprise, surprise. The Hollywood elite doing the best they can.
Do you want to get into it now or do you want to get into it after 7?
No, tell me now. This is important.
So, when was it? It's 2 years ago, I think. And remember they even started wearing all black to award shows and their solidarity and standing up for it and whatnot. So the Time's Up Fund itself was meant to be this foundation that's set up to raise money, and all of that money was going to go into fighting legal fights for victims of sexual harassment and sexual abuse all around the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, now the public documents have been released. Tax filings for the organization revealed that for the year 2018 alone, more than $3 million US dollars was raised.
That's
for
a lot of
the
money.
Organization.
Huge amount of money.
3.6 million US dollars to be exact.
Yeah.
But it spent more than 1.4 million on salaries and just a mere 300,000 on helping victims.
This is disgusting. And I'll tell you what, you know, there are good people in the world who donate every month to charities. We support some people here on CliffCentral.com. If you donate to charities and you find out that they are paying themselves salaries first and foremost, and that most of that money goes to salary, you've got to stop paying them.
But then it's like, as well, these are, you know, it was started by all of these big Hollywood actresses who already have millions and millions and
who
millions.
Who are they? Do we have their names?
Do they even need? Well, yeah, some of the people who make up the board include Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer. and Brie Larson. I know the name doesn't pop up immediately. She's, what she does.
That she's the latest Marvel superhero, man. But she was was called Captain Marvel. Yeah, there we go. So those three sneaky bitches have taken a whole bunch of that money. No, come on, this is disgusting. I mean, these are people who are they're not in the bones of their ass. How could they do this?
I can't see Reese Witherspoon having done this.
Well, this is what their documents all explain. And listen to this. There was $157,000 that was spent on a conference that was held at a luxury resort.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
A further $58,000 was spent on travel.
Greedy. So it's... And that greedy, greedy pig, Amy Schumer, was involved, huh?
I knew you were going to bring her up.
Amy Schumer, what do you have to say for yourself? But how could you take so much of it for salaries, Amy? Amy, I am very disappointed, honestly, and there's so many of us who were supporting you with Time's Up, and now it turns out you've just done what you've done with everything in your life. You've just eaten it.
But the board itself is one thing, and that is what makes me super suspicious. But they hired
Don't be suspicious.
It's disgusting.
The board itself is one thing, but they hired some head honchos to head this whole thing up. So the CEO, we don't know her commonly. She raked in $342,000 for her salary.
The
chief marketing officer raked in $295,000 for her salary. And then the treasurer drew in $255,000
Shocking.
For her salary.
Shocking. Disgusting. Mm. Appalling. And you know
what? What happened to people doing things for free, for charity?
Yeah, especially if it is a charity and it's all about, like, the abuse of men. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of shit going on at the moment that people are just putting on a show. They're just putting on an act. It's like Corona. It's like Democrat or Republican. They're pretending. And actors and actresses are among the best pretenders of all. Disgusting. So Brie Larson...
I'd be annoyed if I was one of these people who donated.
Woody says Brie Larson was such a cow and she was hated by fellow cast members while shooting Captain Marvel, so I'm not surprised that the world, that she would be involved in something like this. And then Duncan says, Gareth, you posted an Instagram video about the anti-vax protest. It was fake news in the context that you were using it. It was definitely not taken yesterday. I find it funny how so many people have always been against anti-vaxxers, and they've now suddenly also become anti-vaxxers with this COVID vaccine. All right, well, there was a video. Let me play you the audio because it's kind of funny. I just love the way the British do this. I could care less when it was taken, frankly. I'm not a news organization, so if you come to me for news, you deserve to be disappointed. But listen to this. They're protesting a vaccine. Listen to this. You can stick that fucking vaccine up your ass. You can stick that fucking vaccine.
Well, sometimes that's where it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stick that poison vaccine up your ass. That's what they were singing. So if that wasn't in London, so what? It's still a protest of people saying they don't want the vaccine. And if it happened yesterday or the day before, it's completely unimportant to me. I just think it is good that people protest governments. It is good that people are protesting lockdowns. These things are necessary to protest. Why are we only able to have one point of view on this? And I don't care if it makes me sound like a conspiracy theorist or an anti-vaxxer or any of that stuff. Get over yourselves. You might be on the wrong side. The only way we'll know is to hear both sides. Guess what? You're being prevented from hearing the one side. Anyway, this thing wasn't banned. Somehow it slipped through the cracks. Maybe because I didn't say it was a COVID protest or, you know, I don't know where it came from. Someone forwarded it to me and I thought that's pretty funny. So I just put it up because you can stick that poison vaccine up your ass is a funny line for a song. There we go. Yep.
Once upon a time, we used to think the British were the definition of dignified and cultured.
You ever been to a football match?
It's coming home. Football's coming home. It's coming home. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
With the festive season upon us, here's your first headline. Cash and transit companies are gearing up as they continue to be targets of crime. The Cash and Transit Association of South Africa and surveillance company FleetCam on Thursday launched new surveillance technology for cash vans. Despite the COVID-19 lockdown, there have been 260 cash and transit heist incidents in the country this year, which is 16 more than last year. 19 cash and transit personnel were killed this year, and about 3,000 money vans will be traveling daily nationwide. There could be a serious surge in CIT crimes in December. What I've got to say is that we've got to get away from this cash economy. You know, I haven't had cash on me this year for... I don't think I've had cash in my wallet at all this year. Unless I know I have to pay for something in cash. I get to go to the police station and pay for my gun license.
Your bribe.
No, this was a totally legit. It was my gun license. I had to pay for that in cash. So I had cash in my wallet, but it was 500 Rand. And it was only 140 to do the license. So I've maybe... The most cash I've had in my wallet this year has probably been about that. And if I think about where I pay and what I use to pay, I use my card as a facility to pay for things. We've got to move away.
There's so many other options now as well.
Yeah, you know, now you've got the, you can use your phone. You don't need to carry cash on you. And I know that these firms are paid to ferry around huge amounts of money, and it's very dangerous. When I see them, I get nervous for them. But sure.
Yeah, you know,
they're such targets.
This year in trimming the fat of, like, what do I need and where can I save money, I actually looked at the fact and learned that my bank incentivizes not drawing out cash.
Hmm.
So if you use your app to transfer money around, if you do more EFTs, that you actually get points for not going to the ATM and withdrawing cash. So I thought, oh, okay, actually, yeah. Using cash is a little old.
The whole problem comes in,
Sidebar, I was at a drive-thru this week, and the car before me was one of these vans carrying cash. And I thought, if they are, like, hijacked or something, imagine, because at a drive-thru, you know how you are encouraged to stick to that lane, so you can't exactly just... drive out. I'm thinking, how will I exit? Imagine just blowing up at a freaking fast food drive-thru. What a sad way my life would have ended. Me with nuggets in my mouth.
Whenever they're at a shopping center standing guard with their guns while they change money in the machines, I don't know what it is, but I always try and put on the most innocent look on my face.
Yes.
So that they don't suspect me.
Imagine if Leanne was like the kingpin in a cash and transit syndicate that were hijacking these cars, but she looks so innocent that they wouldn't ever have guessed it was her.
There I am in my slip slops and floral dress.
Yeah.
With my little shopping tote. My dog in my car.
So this is interesting. It costs banks more to move the cash than the cash itself. That is why they give you rewards for not working with cash. So that's interesting, Sia, that you noticed that.
The problem is when it comes to car guards and tips and paying for a parking ticket and all of those sorts of things, you need to have a little bit on you.
Yeah, you should really be able to use your card for all of the parking and all of that. There are lots of places now that you can pay for parking with a card.
Yeah, but sometimes you'll get caught at this antiquated machine that doesn't even accept a 50 rand note.
Well, right. Yesterday was also the day for former Eskom CEO Matsela Koko. Apparently, he said Cyril Ramaphosa interfered with the utilities board to get him fired, and he did not benefit Eskom's coal supplier Optimum. He testified at the State Capture Commission about the suspension of some executives, including himself. Koko said that he, Brian Molefe, who was then the CEO, and board chairperson Ben Ngubane were the best leaders at the power utility since 2001. This guy is full of shit. He said it was not true that during the tenure they did not maintain equipment or that a lot of diesel was burnt to keep the lights on. Really? Really? Anyway, so this, if you believe that fucking liar, then you believe anything. That's Matsela Koko, the former CEO of Eskom, who, as far as I can tell, did nothing right and everything wrong. Anyway, and now he says he's one of the best leaders they had at Eskom since 2001. Yeah, truth doesn't matter anymore. You can go in front of a commission of inquiry like that, and you could just lie. You could just lie. Driver's licenses that expired from 26 March of this year and 31 of December this year have been extended for a seven-month grace period. According to the latest Government Gazette, learner's licenses, driver's license cards, temporary license cards, and professional driving permits are deemed valid for a grace period ending 31 August 2021. License discs are not included. Renewals have been negatively affected by the lockdown, with centres struggling to handle backlogs. I've been trying to get an appointment for my driver's license for 4 months. No luck.
I was able to collect mine
without
too much of a problem. But I was pulled over the other day, and for the first time in years, I had both a valid license disc and license card. I was so excited. I saw the cop and went, "Hello, how are you?"
I don't know why.
And I said to her,
"Why are we bothered?
I haven't seen you here before." And she goes, "Serious?" I said, "No, I haven't." She goes, "But we come every month." It was like my fault for never having seen her.
May I say, I'm a little dismayed with this extension, and especially because of the length of the extension. 7 months is a very long time. And to me, that says this department is not capable of doing its job.
Well,
and this backlog, is so great that they're just like, let's procrastinate. Let's give them 7 months. Really, it's scary to me. To me, it's a slippery slope. They clearly are just not doing their job if you have to extend something by 7 months. Believe you me, we'll get to this, to the end of this grace period, and they'll also be stuck again with another backlog.
Why bother? Why bother having a driver's license? Most of the people on the roads don't even have a proper driver's license. They've got it. They've bribed someone to get it. There's so many fake driver's licenses out there. Why bother? You know? I mean, it's just, this is encouraging people to do illegal things. Anyway, the cops are out for their Christmas bonuses, so be wide awake. They're everywhere at the moment.
There was a new batch of JMPD people who graduated this week, so.
Oh, good.
They're ready.
Oh, good. A top U.S. intelligence official says that China is the greatest threat to democracy and freedom since World War II. Now, there's something true. I agree with that, don't you? I mean, can you think of someone who's a bigger threat to freedom and democracy in the world? Especially here in Africa. Name one, I dare you. Okay.
But how are they going to change or make a change in countries that are democratic?
They already are. They're affecting their politics and their economies, Leanne. China, for example, here in, and especially places like Angola and Mozambique and Zimbabwe, they're financing everything, the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't believe that that's going to have an influence on things? Anyway, writing in the Wall Street Journal, John Ratcliffe said China was growing its power by stealing U.S. secrets and replacing U.S. firms in the market. The Trump administration has taken a hard line on China, imposing tariffs on Chinese goods and accusing Beijing of intellectual property theft. China has not yet responded, which tells you the whole thing. You know, if someone says to you, "You've stolen from me," and you go, you've usually stolen from them. If someone says, "You've stolen from me," and you go, whoa, I didn't steal from you," you probably didn't steal from them.
Yeah, China's PR is not really doing so well at the moment.
It's not just PR, because I don't want more performance. It's the truth. We've got enough PR. You saw what the what are those women called? The Time's Up people were doing. Oh, it's, you know, Me Too movement. Meanwhile, they just set up a nice company to take some serious salaries for themselves. Bullshit. This looks like another case where PR is not going to save you. And then NASA is going to pay a company $1 to collect moon rocks. This is one of those strange stories that makes you question whether or not we are actually advancing in science. But apparently, on Thursday, Luna Outpost was awarded a contract to collect samples of moon rocks. It is one of four contracts awarded by NASA under its low-cost lunar resource collection program. The other winning bidders are California-based Masten Space Systems and Tokyo-based iSpace, along with European subsidiaries. NASA will be paying the companies for individual collections of lunar regolith or moon soil between 50 grams and 500 grams in weight. The companies will collect the samples and provide it with visual evidence and other data that they've been collected.
So isn't that what's it for? Testing and things?
Yeah. So the fee is not the motivation. There are expected to be very many scientific benefits, and the fee is kind of neither here nor there, according to them. So how's that? You could you could be that guy who's collecting little samples. Apparently, there are Japanese companies, iSpace. They're going to be awarded $5,000 for its proposed collection in 2022. On the moon's northeastern near side. See, just like on Earth, you get different samples of soil on the moon. It's not all the same. So they want to test different parts of the moon, obviously. So that's
imagine going on a blind date with someone that you met on Tinder, and you ask them what they do, and they said, no, I collect rocks and soil from the moon.
Moon
I wouldn't believe them.
No.
I was wondering where that was going.
Connor says, if you want to look at censorship, look at Disney, TikTok, and all those apps where you say something anti-China, you get banned in China. Yeah, it's instant. There's no appeal. There's no respect for free speech or any of that stuff, so forget about it. Apparently, there's quite a lot going on in the U.S., though. The elections have been very quiet lately. So a couple of things worth looking at, because if you've noticed, I haven't said anything about the elections recently. I haven't really had a lot to say, but this is how it sits at the moment. There are six states in question, which is why we haven't heard many of these states declaring. And they're all swing states: Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, right? Now, excluding the Electoral College votes, excluding those six states, the Electoral College votes are 232 for Trump and 227 for Biden, right? If you take those states out. And that means that there are actually a few paths to Trump's victory, even without Pennsylvania. This is interesting for people who think that Biden is pretty much a shoo-in and that it's over. So if you take Georgia, Arizona, and Michigan, that is 43 votes. That puts Trump at 275, which means he's president. If he takes Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, gives him 42, which puts him at 274, so he's president. If he takes Georgia, Michigan, and Nevada, he gets 38 votes. That puts him at 270. That makes him president. Or if he takes Michigan, Arizona, and Wisconsin, gives him 37, which puts him at 269, which will then go to Congress, which means he wins. So those are four paths to victory that people have not yet considered. When they start saying, oh, the office of the president-elect and things like this, it's not over yet. It's not done. And remember, all of those calculations exclude Pennsylvania, where Sean Parnell's suit has gone to the Supreme Court, and Trump still has a great likelihood there of winning. So it's not over. It's why I've been very quiet about the U.S. elections, because frankly, It isn't clear yet. It's in the words of Al Gore and George W. Bush in 2000, it's too close to call. Remember that?
Yeah, I was five.
Yeah, and there's more. There's more coming up, because according to Giuliani, who is Trump's lawyer, they have CCTV evidence of vote manipulation. So there may be some You know, it's not just testimony. This is something you can actually see. All right. It is time this morning, and I've been telling you about this for a few days, to speak about running a business during this year and to give your business a leg up, to basically give you a chance to tell your story, tell us what your business is all about. And Ozo have made it possible because they believe your business is their business too. So we've kicked off somebody's business on cliffcentral.com, and you can also send us your entries if you'd like. Hashtag somebody's business on social media, or you can email us, contact@cliffcentral.com. And we're highlighting some of the great businesses around us that have survived COVID and that need to get business going again. First up is Jurentia van Rijn. She is from Oh My Woodness. They make wooden jewelry and decor. Isn't that cool?
I love
that. So cool, right?
So Jurentia's on the line with us now. Hey, Jurentia, can you hear us?
Hi, Gareth. Yes, I can hear you. Hello, Sia and Leanne.
I love,
good morning.
I love the name too. The name of your company, Oh My Woodness.
So, so cute.
Thanks so much.
Give us some descriptions of some of the stuff you guys do.
Yeah, so basically I do your solid wooden rings. I do decor. I do pendants and earrings. And then I also do inlays and inserts, which is kind of what I'd like to highlight this morning with your permission.
Sure, go ahead. Of course, this is your time now.
Awesome, thank you. So basically, I feel like we have such an amazingly diverse landscape that I want to showcase that. So, I mean, these days we're so stuck in our boxes that we hardly look out the window anymore, and that's such a shame because we're missing out on so much natural color and vibrance. So to combat that, what I do is go around the night, like to say, hunt for wildflowers and rocks and shells. So, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I go hunting for flowers, and sometimes this can be to the annoyance of my passengers because wherever I'm traveling, if I see something vibrant in the field, I'm just compelled to pull over and to inspect it. So, yeah, I collect things all over nature to incorporate into my wooden jewelry to kind of showcase our landscape.
So, Jurentia, just tell me quickly about the business itself. When did you start the business and how long have you been in operation?
Yeah, so I started this around 5 years ago. I actually started as a waitress at the Spur. I just had a love and a passion for wood from an early age. So I saved up and started to purchase my wooden tools and everything that I needed to start this business.
It's amazing. How's this COVID year been? Because obviously the way of selling these things has changed. You know, you might have sold them at markets before and that kind of thing. Now you're probably selling more online. How's the business developed during this year?
Yeah, exactly, Gareth. You know, the COVID has definitely been detrimental to my business. You know, I was selling at markets, and, you know, as you know, that has completely stalled.
Yeah.
We're only now starting to do markets again. I was in a couple of shops as well, which, you know, couldn't trade. And in the first couple of months of COVID, we were not allowed to ship any non-essential items.
Yeah.
So that has completely stopped trading whatsoever. And tourism is a big part of my sales every month at markets and shops. So that is also completely right up. It's now starting to pick up. I did Linden Market last weekend and it went very well.
Yeah, you mentioned
online is basically where I'm aiming.
Yeah,
you mentioned tourism and how that's
affecting.
I'm hearing myself suddenly. Sorry. First of all, we've got a question here from Carl who says, Andre says, do you make wooden engagement rings? That would be very funny. You do? So that if people change their mind, they can just burn the engagement ring.
Oh. Yes, definitely. I recommend that, actually. No. So, look, what I do, sometimes people would even, like, prune their trees, and then they'll send me twigs or branches, and then if it's a wood type that is strong enough, I incorporate that, and I use that to make wooden rings for them.
Amazing.
People find something that they pick up, like a shell, on their honeymoon. And they'll send that to me, and I'll put that in a ring for them so that they have something special forever.
I love this.
Wow.
How did you come up with the idea that this could actually be a business? Because a lot of people have a, you know, creative ability, or they can craft something, or they can paint something, or draw something, or sculpt something. But very few people go, oh, I'm going to make this a business. Was it necessity, or was it because you knew this was something you could do that no one else was?
Yeah, so it was definitely something that I was very passionate about. I mean, it took a lot of trial and error to kind of develop something that I could actually sell and that would last for a long time. So it was just something that I over and over and over worked out what could work. Would this actually be something that people are interested in? And it is. I mean, people are amazed. Like, I find 100-year-old olive parquet flooring and I turn that into a ring and people are amazed. You know, people love something that they can connect to.
That's extraordinary. I have to congratulate you on thinking outside of the box in terms of starting this business and being able to create things out of wood, because it really is a talent and a skill, but it's also a substance that isn't hugely expensive. It's available all over the place. And for some people, you know, a certain tree or, some piece of wood, or a piece of furniture that they've always loved, or, you know, it could come out of a little box that someone gave them that has sentimental value. These things are obviously not massively expensive, but what are your prices like?
No, I think my prices are very reasonable. My aim has always been that I want everyone to be able to afford one of my rings. So anywhere from, they start to, from 400 rand a ring up to 1,500 rand a ring. And I mean, that's very reasonable, I believe. Yeah.
That's amazing. You've got a website?
I do, yeah. So it's ohmywoodness.co.za. It's ohmywoodness.
Brilliant. Okay, well, listen, all I can say is congratulations to you. This is really cool. I'm glad that we got to hear about it. I didn't know about your business before today, and you got hold of us, and thanks to Ozo, now we're able to shine the light on businesses that really do deserve the support, and especially because it's Christmas coming up, you might want to buy something slightly different for your friends, family, girlfriend, husband, wife, whoever it might be. Jerentia's got an awesome idea here. It's Oh My Woodness. OhmyWoodness. Go and look at their website and you will find all kinds of cool stuff. So Jerentia, well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Gareth. Sorry, can I just conclude this by saying Spotify actually sent me my stats yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like I have listened to 18,000 minutes of the Gareth Cliff Show. So I do like to regard myself a fan.
Oh, you poor woman. You must have such a poisonous mind now.
So much waste of your life.
I know.
Well, listen, you know, one hand washes the other, and we're just pleased that we're able to profile your business for a change. I hope you make lots and lots of money over the festive season. Congratulations.
Thank you, Gareth.
All right, awesome.
Thanks for this.
So there's a local and creative and brilliant business for you to support, Oh My Woodness, and you can get Jerentia to make a piece of jewelry, a signature piece of jewelry for you. She also makes a bunch of stuff on her website, ohmywoodness.co.za. Go and check them out and support local businesses, because people like her are going to make all the difference, and they do need your support more than some big shop or Amazon. I mean, really, who needs Amazon?
Yeah. And simply just based on how cool their name is.
I love it.
I like it. Yeah.
No, that's very, very cool. So Ozo have made it possible for us to shine the light on all the businesses around South Africa that need some help. And we've managed to identify six of the entries, which we're going to be introducing you to in the next few days. So you are welcome to share your insights. And if you've used any of these products or services of these businesses, then let us know too, so we can give them some good feedback too. It'd be great to help each other out in the first couple of days of December. And who knows, you might just find some cool stocking stuffers as presents. Right, Leanne? You knew,
yeah, there's still some spots available if people use the hashtag awesome. Somebody's business.
So get in, hashtag somebody's business. We want to help you and your business to get ahead, even if it's been a really, really hard year. That's Cliff Central and Ozo, OZOW. They're a brilliant payments platform, and you can find out more about what they do by just looking up OZOW on the internet too. Busy, busy day. We got lots more coming your way in the next while, and we would like to hear from you. you know what to do. 0797482090 is how you can get hold of us and tell us what you are interested in this Friday morning. We'll hopefully get to that and a whole bunch more. CliffCentral.com